The World Internet Radio Network, the only station on the web that has it all.
Welcome back to the JB Show here on the World Internet Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for tuning in on the Windows Media Radio platform, the iTunes radio platform, and wherever else you may be tuned into the JB Show right here, of course, on the Big Talk of the World Internet Radio Network. And joining me on the studio line, it's a warm, I want to give him a warm welcome, and it's a pleasure to have him on the studio line, returning to the JB Show. It's been a while, but, you know, he's still around. It is Adam Qualchuk from Adam in the Wait. Welcome back to the JB Show, Adam.
Thank you, James. How are you?
I'm doing well. And I guess the big question right off the bat is, what's new in the world of Adam Qualchuk and Adam in the Wait?
Well, what's new is I'm currently writing, I guess you could say I'm in the writing process. It's been quite a busy year as far as work goes, and work obviously is playing, rhythm guitar and singing background vocals for live.
Right.
While that takes us, far and far and away, it makes it kind of difficult to concentrate solely on my own material.
Right.
But with the invention of GarageBand and all these convenient things that you can use in your hotel room.
Yeah.
I've been able to pen a couple in there. There's one I'm really proud of called Come Down. And I did it all on the keyboard, all on the actual computer.
Wow.
I just edited a loop and edited, a synth bass pattern and just recorded it all on the computer. So it's pretty fun.
Now, when you say from your hotel room, are you kind of joking around? Or are you actually serious that you've done something?
No, I'm serious. Yeah, no, I'm serious. This is just stuff, and I've actually sang into the microphone that's on the desktop.
Wow.
With that, yeah. So I'm actually, I'll have to give you that one because I'm curious to know what you think of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll give it a spin here, and I'm sure people will let us know what they think, and if it's like the rest of your stuff, I'm sure it's going to be awesome. Now, I guess, you sort of have to look at it, you being on the road a lot. I guess that's the only time that sometimes you can record is obviously
absolutely
from a hotel room.
There was actually a window of about a week where we had started the most recent run, a lot of flying, and it kind of kept me awake quite a bit. There were times where I was on a bus just up until, 7 in the morning in the back lounge, just trying to just focus on me, because most of the majority of the day is about us getting to point A to point B,
right,
resting up for the show, being prepared, eating well, going to the gym, trying to stay fit, keep the heart rate up so I don't fall over.
Well, speaking of staying fit, I know I tried calling you to schedule the interview with you, and you were in the middle of your workout. How often do you work out? How many minutes do you work out a day? I mean what's an average?
Actually, it's not necessarily a day-to-day thing, because when you're touring, you get quite a bit of cardio on stage, quite a bit of breathing, moving around, but when I'm home, I tend to play a lot more basketball in a gym here called LA Fitness. More than lifting. I'll do some strengthening stuff on the road, small lifts, and lots of reps, but small weights just at home. But I'm not a muscle maker by any means. I just try to keep it tight, I guess.
Now let me ask you this: when you first started, touring with Live, were you in shape then, or did you feel that you needed to get in better shape?
I was 24, so I would say yes.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
But I think so. I think I was in shape. I had a lot. I guess my energy level obviously was different. When you're 24, you get invited to,
right,
or hired, I should say, at this point, to the world and join in the fun of what rock and roll is as far as, touring at that level. I was all energy.
Right.
And then after the work settled in, a couple years down the road, I started going to the gym and concentrating more on my body, I guess.
No, I'm sure all the ladies out there probably would like to know this. Are you single? Are you married? Do you have a significant other? Is it all of the above?
I have a significant other, but we are not married. So, well, that's a question. I have a significant other who I would say it's quite serious. We've been living together now for a year and a half.
Oh wow!
Been dating for 2 years, so that's a good stretch for a guy who wants to play music.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this. Is she supportive of you being on the road, or do you have to take her on the road with you? Or?
I don't think I necessarily have, because we are not married, I don't necessarily have the luxury of saying, hey, listen, you know, to my employers. My wife kind of wants to come out for a while. She's come out for a long weekend, but usually no, she doesn't do the entire run. To her credit, she's actually been, she's been there. She remains to come, you know. She remains to be home when I get home.
Right.
That, you know, for a guy in this line of work, I mean, that's a big, big, big part of it.
Right, and you have to look at it, you know, bringing someone on the road with you, it probably has to probably get boring for them too, you know.
Exactly, yeah. I can see from experience in regards to some of the other gentlemen that even their wives are just like, okay, I'll come out for a long weekend, but
right.
You know, the days of me coming out for weeks on end, they're paralyzed.
Right.
Because, yeah. I mean, it is boring. I mean, I would be, to their credit, I would be bored just to say, what are you going to do all day?
Right.
You could be getting so much done at home, you know. And now that they're all, you know, working with their family, there's a lot more responsibility for them at home.
Right.
My family consists of two dogs.
do you bring the dog? Do you bring the dogs on the road, or?
No.
I guess it would be kind of hard to stay in hotels with dogs and on the bus and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that you're asking everybody a lot.
There you go. Now let's talk about your solo career here for just a moment.
Okay.
How many CDs do you have out, or how many?
I have two records that were independently recorded. One I've made in a year on that. Three, I believe, was completed, and I did it in Los Angeles at the record plant. And I co-produced it with a drummer of mine and a good friend of mine, Brent Arson, titled Looking Up From the Ground. It's available on CDBaby.com. We had that band, that outfit, that lineup together for 2.5 years. And then I kind of wanted to get out of Dodge for a little while. And I ended up moving back to Lancaster.
Right.
Packed all my stuff and rolled. And made the second record here in Lancaster. Titled Dreams Peak. And that's available for download on iTunes. It's also available on hard copy on my website, AdamWalchin.com. That one was actually, the only way that there was a departure was the fact that I kind of had the patience or had the time to really hone in on the parts that I played. I did a majority of the guitar parts, played a majority of the bass. I had a great drummer by the name of Paul Merck come in and play the drums. I kind of got the chance to really, really take my time with it. I worked on it, co-produced it with Adam Cox, who is a co-owner and partner of Chet Taylor's a studio that's called the Moon Tree Studios here in Lancaster. And I tell you what, it was a very uplifting experience. It was as if I could feel free to kind of be nervous what was going to come. But it set out to be only a 5-song EP, and then we did another song.
Ask this kind of question here. It's kind of a weird question here, but I'm kind of curious in a lot of ways.
Okay.
Take, you know, minus you being the talented musician that you are, you know, touring with the band live, take all that, pretend you don't have that, and you have your music now. How well do you do as a musician? Could you support yourself without basically being hired by the band live?
That is a great question, and I think not until recently have I, or over the last 2 years, have I really, really began to contemplate that. As we all know, that the music industry is a very different monster now.
It's crazy.
I mean, it is just that the door has closed so much in the last, even just the last 4 years, 5 years. If I were doing what I were doing now, or I had made that record in 03, 5 years earlier, I may have been a touring entity that could be very profitable.
Right.
That being said, along came, you know, the explosion of the internet and the explosion of MP3s and downloads and so on and so forth. I think that has played a part in my consideration as far as, you know, how big of a risk is it for me to go out.
Right.
That being said, I believe in myself strongly enough that, and I believe in any artist that could agree with this, you get what you give.
Mm-hmm.
You get what you put in to your work. And I think I haven't been in a position, I haven't been capable of taking such a risk to give my art 100% in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be exhausting.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I do believe that I could. To answer your question, I do believe that I could do it. And I would get what I put in.
And the reason why I ask that is because many people probably don't realize that, in a lot of ways, if you look at your standard solo musician that has their music on iTunes and CD Baby and they're trying to distribute themselves, you know, you've had some of your songs on, I believe, some television shows, haven't you?
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. I have something come out on MTV Laguna Beach.
Okay.
Kind of like a blurb of it entitled "The Ocean" from that first record.
That's what I thought. That's what it was. Okay.
While that's an incredible tool, I mean, exposure on television is one of the major influences on a lot of independent artists' roster. I mean, that's a big catalyst for them to get the notoriety.
Absolutely.
But you can get that notoriety, and it also cannot pay off.
Right.
I mean, it's still a risk. So it's like, do you just say yes, go ahead, go for it, promote it whatever you can on TV, that's great. Or do you hold on to it a little bit? You know, it's a tricky game. I mean, you got to really, it's a different ballgame now. You got to really be able to take that risk.
Well, here's another tough question. This probably has happened to you. Has there ever been a point where you had to make a choice of either A, I have to go 100% with Adam and the Weight, or I have to continue what I'm doing, you know, putting whatever percentage of time you put in touring with live and then in your free time working on Adam and the Weight? Have you ever had to make a decision to where you're at now?
I think I have crossed that path before, but I think now more so than ever. Because I honestly believe that I have more to offer.
Right.
And if I'm in a position where I can't offer that, it would be damaging to my spirit.
Right.
You know, I haven't had that crossroads as far as at that level yet.
Right.
You know? But it has crossed my mind over the last 5 years. Absolutely.
And to ask a really another tough question.
It's a difficult question. I mean, it's a very, very, it's a tricky dilemma to be in. It would be, I guess, if you could relate it to someone that worked at, let's say Apple.
Okay.
Say somebody worked at Apple and worked for iTunes and was a developer for iTunes and had all this freedom and so on and so forth and had these doors open for them, but had an opportunity on the side at, let's say, Microsoft or whatever it is. And that's quite a dilemma.
That's
a big dilemma to be involved in. Now, granted, I'm not at that level, but if I had something on the other end of that substantial, you know, that substantial value, whereas I didn't think that the risk would be like starting completely over,
right?
I might consider it. I would strongly consider it. I don't think I've found that opportunity just yet.
And heck,
so I'm just gonna continue to, you know, concentrate on writing.
Right, and why not? You know, in a lot of ways, why not have your cake and eat it too? You've been through.
Well, it's my cake.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, you know what? I'd have to say, if I were in your shoes, I would probably be doing the same exact thing. Here, being able to tour with a major act, plus be able to be my independent self and write my own stuff and you know, I guess it's probably got to be hard for you in a lot of ways, you know, playing with a lot of talented musicians, you know, and you know, sitting down to write your own stuff and go, you know, wow, does that sound like the riff that guy, you know, that Chad played during, you know, warm up or something like that? You know, does that ever happen? Does that ever, like, you know, do you beat yourself up?
I
silly.
Think more because of, you know, who my brother is. There's some writing styles that are similar.
Right.
Obviously, because I, you know, will play rhythm guitar, and the majority of the stuff that I've written in the past has been on rhythm guitar. And I think that's how he had started out as well. So there are similarities in that. But as far as riffs and stuff like that, I don't necessarily think so. I think that, you know, there could be chord progressions that are similar.
Yeah.
But then the melody is, you know, the vocal melody would be entirely different. And obviously his and I lyrics are entirely different. And, you know, his are much, you know, much more deep and in-depth.
You have to really read into it sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I think we're just different. I mean, just not necessarily very, very similar.
It's. I think you've explained it the best that I could probably explain it. You know, I guess the best way to compare them is to go out and obviously get your CD.
Yeah, absolutely. Pick up a copy, and I would love for anyone and everyone to contact me on MySpace. And, you know, let me know what you think. I'd love to. There's nothing more that makes it valuable than hearing what people actually think, because to actually get an email or a blurb or read something online that someone in Kansas,
right,
or someone in Wyoming that bought my record and I actually packaged it and sent it to them, that it actually crossed through to their psyche and entertained them in the least or got through to them on a different personal level. I mean, that's why we do it.
Sure.
That's why any artist and any musician and any speaker has been blessed. It's that capability to be able to reach people. It's so much bigger than the ego, and it's so much bigger than the individual. That
absolutely,
that's where the reward is.
Now,
whether that comes in record sales or whether that—I mean, that's much more important to me than record sales. Now, obviously, if I were in the record, you know, if I were in the business of making records, if I had a deal and a label and all that jazz, obviously I would make it my business. But I would still, my goal would be to reach people.
But now, this day and age, okay, say you know, you find yourself having a little bit more free time, and you're able to concentrate more on Adam and the Weight. You know, being that things are so much easier to do on the internet these days, you know, even in the way of distributing your music, would you be necessarily looking for a label to sign you, or would you rather keep it all on your own and doing it yourself kind of thing?
I think I would benefit, I guess because I'm kind of an old school dude, I would benefit from having someone that's just as eager to spread my words and my music and my art as I, because if you can't commit 100% time to it, the internet is so large.
I mean,
you can't reach it all. You can't get to every avenue on your own. You would need somebody that's kind of a bit more savvy. And I believe that, you know, record labels still are going out and getting these younger folks, younger kids, to really hammer out their internet.
All right. What do you think about file sharing as a musician? You know, would you like to see your stuff, say, file shared, or are you against that? precisely the way you feel. I know, it's a tough question.
I can't necessarily say I'm against it, against file sharing, because it's an incredible promotional tool as far as getting your name in the psyche of people that are music fans and music lovers. I'm not quite sure what the threshold is.
I hear
when it's crossed. I mean, it depends on if your file is shared, let's say 100,000 times in half an hour span. Yeah, I'd be a little worried about that. It'd be a little difficult to not feel like, wow, everybody just got what I worked so hard on. And I'm in the record business. I'm in the business of trying to make music and money, and everyone just got it for free.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point there, and I always try to ask every artist that, when I have them on, what do they think of file sharing? And a lot of people, they're for it, but they're against it, and in a lot of ways they say they're for it if they would just come to a show,
I was going to say that as well. Let's say it were filed, it was shared in a territory, so to speak.
Sure.
And it could help to bring people to that current territory where you're going to be coming to tour or you're going to come and play a show.
Right.
But I think because of the explosion of the internet, there is really no way to rein it in. I mean, how do you do that now?
It's hard, especially with all those file sharing sites out there. I think artists would probably be more open to it if there were not those, say, file sharing sites. Say if you were sharing, the file between friends via email, say, here, check out Adam Kowalczyk from Adam and the Weight, he's playing on such and such date here, I think that's probably a pretty good tool, and that's probably probably more acceptable to most artists, having their stuff shared that way. Via obviously, say LimeWire for example, someone has that, boom, like you said, that's going to 100,000 people. It could easily go to 100,000 people in a matter of minutes,
Absolutely.
They're over.
I'm surprised that those types of sites aren't in a position where they could get back to the artist in a sense, like a penny per share. I mean, that's huge money, if
you
were on that level.
Yeah, that is a good point, and I think that's the road that Napster, I think, went.
Right.
It's a subscription service, and I'm sure they monitor how many downloads they have, and I'm sure they have to pay a certain percentage to the RIAA, and
right.
Hopefully somehow that gets to the struggling musician, because. Because I'll tell you, we don't have to worry about it that much as a station overall, because we're more of a talk station. But we do play music from time to time, and we do have to obviously report what music we play, to the RIAA. And it's kind of funny. We kind of did it as a test that we knew someone that was an independent artist. They belonged to every single organization out there that monitors music, such as ASCAP and BMI and stuff like that. And we reported, what we played, and we paid our royalty rates on this particular artist. And it's been almost a year now, and they haven't received a penny from any of the organizations. And so in a lot of ways, I kind of wonder, does that money ever get to the artist?
It could be very, very few and far between. It's very easy to accept the fact that some of that could get lost in the paperwork. It just fizzle out somewhere down the road. I've heard stories of people, getting stuff on television shows and not being paid for 2 years.
Right.
It's big television shows.
Right. It's kind of weird. What did we have? We had the writer's strike not too long ago, because I don't blame them for wanting, a percentage of what people downloaded that they wrote on the internet. That was a big thing a few months ago. And even in the internet radio world, we have the royalty fight going on with the increased royalties. And many people may not realize this, but internet radio pays more royalties to musicians than terrestrial radio does. And oh, wow. That's kind of why we did the little experiment that I did. And again, like I said, the artist has yet to receive any money. And I personally, you know, overall, I think the whole music industry needs to be reformatted somehow to include the internet. I honestly, I personally believe that, you know, whether it's satellite radio, whether it's internet radio, whether it's terrestrial radio, I think they all need to be treated equally, not one paying higher than the other, because in a lot of ways, internet, you know, internet radio is booming. But what a lot of people don't realize is you can now take everything on the go with you now. And, you know, as someone, you know, that I should say I used to be a musician, but always, you know, once a musician, always a musician. You know, if I wanted to get back into it, I could have my stuff on iPhones. I could have my stuff on iPods everywhere. And I'm not making any money because I think in a lot of ways, the RIAA is in with the record labels. And I think
they want hard copies.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because they're in the business of paying to have these records made. You know, and they're,
yeah.
But they're, I think, you know, they're really learning. I mean, obviously, over the last couple of years, things need to change. You know, they need to change big.
Well, here's another thing what most people don't realize is, you know, and this has been all over the web. I mean, they're trying to raise the rates with terrestrial radio as well. The copyright holder, they want more money paid to the copyright holder. What most people don't realize, when someone is signed with a band, while they're under contract with, say, that record label, believe it or not, 9 times out of 10, and if I'm wrong, you know, please tell me, but I'm pretty sure this is how it goes. 9 times out of 10, the copyright holder is the record label. And
the label. Yeah. Exactly. Unless you fight for in your contract, unless there's some sort of long litigation process where you can have the copyright revert to your ownership.
Right.
The record company receives all of that. So where I think what's really going on is that people, bands, singer-songwriters, the artists that want to generate this giving, you know, and this entertaining, they have to prove themselves to be capable of touring.
Right.
Because that is, I think we're in a position where it can turn around to the live performance being the vehicle for bands to be successful again.
Right.
Because if we're all so tuned in to iTunes, or not necessarily iTunes, but if we're all tuned in to just downloading music that we like and that we enjoy so that we can play it on our iPods or our MP3 players and our headphones to walk to the store or to go exercise, you know, we're going to be in a position where we need to see what we're listening to. What is getting people through the day? Why can't we go and see that performance? And I think that's what this world is going to need. We need it. You know,
yeah.
And if you're not a band that's willing to capitalize on playing a small, tiny room for 5 people for a case of beer and pizza, you know, if you're not willing to struggle it out for a little while to get started, to build it, you're not going to get there.
And you know what? It's not even sometimes playing for a case of beer and a pizza.
Absolutely. It's just playing for a slot.
Right.
And it goes for any other side of bands. Like bands that even have smaller independent labels, label deals. If they can get on a slot that's in front of 5,000 people,
perfect,
they might be willing just to take $200.
Right.
And do it.
Exactly.
Or do it for free. Because in merch, you might sell it. You might make
right.
it. Might make more than what they were capable of offering you just for that slot. And that's what bands, and I think young bands really get to embrace that. I mean, they still know. And that's what gets you together into a band and to play with other guys in person, to be in front of people.
Now,
you know, and to share.
Now, speaking of merchandise, do you have merchandise of your own?
I have t-shirts still available from The Dream. That's the minimal. It's very, very minimal here. The music and the performance when I, you know, play out, and I have the t-shirts. I'm working on a new web design now, new web upgrade, currently, so that will contain a bit more, you know, just so that people can feel free to speak to me and see me on the go. There's going to be a blog available. There's going to be hopefully a video blog where I can do some stuff to interact with people during the travel.
So there you go.
And, it's an exciting time in Adam Kowalczyk's world, because I'm changing as a man, and I'm changing as an artist, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. It's about reverting the energy towards me, towards the art, so that I can do what I feel is necessary for me to be happy, to give, to share, hopefully intimate, music and thoughts and melodies and harmonies and lyrics. People can, like we said, put on their MP3s, and hopefully it's on their MP3 player when they're walking the same place.
Right, absolutely. Now, are you going to actually be playing anywhere anytime soon?
I have some shows coming up at the end. I'm going to celebrate my birthday with 4 performances in 3 days at the end of this month. September 26th, I'm going to do a Dewey Beach music conference live in Delaware at about 5:30, acoustic spot. And then that night I'll be at... That first one, the acoustic slide, is at Bottle and Court, pretty well-known rock venue,
right,
in Dewey Beach. And that evening, I'll be at Dogfish Head Brewery in Rehoboth Beach, full band. And the following day, Saturday, the 6th, I will be, I'm sorry, 27th, I should be looking at this one, I tell you. I will be in Easton, Maryland, a place called Coffee East. And the 28th, I'll be here in Lancaster, playing at the Chameleon Club.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So if anybody listening, come check me out on myspace.com/AdamKowalczyk. You can get more details for those performances.
Absolutely.
For those of you who are listening.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this: with those dates, how does that coincide with? Is this your time off with live?
Yeah, this is a window where I have available to fit it in. We have a small live has a small run that I'll be obligated to get to on the 20th. I believe we're doing a Milwaukee and a Chicago House of Blues.
Oh, there
but
you
then,
go.
We all go. We go to Europe at the end of October for about a month.
Wow.
So this is my window to get together with my friends and get together with a full band. And I have a drummer, that original drummer, coming in from LA. And we're going to do a rehearsal here at my place, my house, and just hammer it out and have fun.
And there you go. Now, give out your website and your MySpace page and all the information about CD Baby and all that kind of stuff before we let you go.
Okay, very well. You can find me on MySpace at myspace.com/AdamKowalczyk. It's KowalczyK. You can also find me on the web at AdamKowalczyk.com. And CD Baby, you can find my first record titled Looking Up From the Ground. And also, you can find my current release. Well, not so current, but it's entitled The Dream EP. You can find that on my website, the hard copy, or you can download it as well on iTunes.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I'm sure we'll have you on in the future to give us another update.
Sounds great, James.
And we'll be right back on the JB Show right here on the World Internet Radio Network.